Morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name. Privileged to be with you here this morning. Also bring greetings from the Susquehanna Valley congregation. You are welcome anytime if you find yourselves in the area. It is always a privilege to gather together Sunday morning. And a few faces here, but Phil, I don't know a lot of yous. But yet there's a blessing, there's a privilege we have to gather together with saints, fellow believers, and all look into God's word together this morning, and was a blessing to be here this far. Message this morning, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We have the book of 1 Timothy and also 2 Timothy. And this was written by Paul, addressed to Timothy. And Timothy was a young pastor, young leader, and he was entrusted with the church of Ephesus. And one thing Paul brings out in this chapter, I'd like to look at that this morning. I'm not sure what age Timothy was exactly, but he mentions his youth or youthfulness. And some commentaries would tend to believe he's under 40. I don't have an exact age of what Timothy would be, but he was called young or a youth. At least youthful. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm just going to read the whole chapter. So starting at verse 1, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if received with thanksgiving. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thou profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And stop reading the end of the chapter there. And as mentioned, Timothy was, verse 12, we have Paul saying, let no man despise thy youth. And especially in biblical times, and even sometimes today, current age, we can look at the older folks and see them as the wise and the experienced. And there's truth to that. They have lived more of life than those of us that are younger. But in the spiritual realm, maturity or the calling each of us have is not limited to age or limited by age. We have a young man, in this case a pastor, minister, elder, whatever term you want to use. But I know this is Paul is specifically addressing Timothy, but there's something that each one of us believe can learn this morning. And doesn't, like I said, age is not limited, is not our limiting factor as verse 12 says, be thou an example. Each one of us have influence. As parents, we have influence on children. Grandparents, you have influence on your children and grandchildren. And even children, teenagers, you have influence on, if you have younger siblings, you have influence on those. Maybe you're the youngest in your family. Well, if you go to school, you have influence on your school friends. So, whatever age we find ourselves in, we have an impact. We have an influence. So Paul is verse 12 here. I'd like to focus on that this morning. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. If you want a message title, you can simply use the phrase, be thou an example. So Timothy was told to be an example of the believers. When people look at Timothy, and Paul was saying, be an example of the believers. In other words, when people looked at him, what was his life showing? What does a believer do? What does a believer say? What does a believer look like? So this morning, be an example of the believers, and I believe we're each one of us, again, not limited by age. We are called, instructed, to be an example of the believers. We need to live a life our life is going to be seen. Yes, in the church, in the brotherhood, as we relate to each other here Sunday morning, but also any time, any day of the week. But our life is also showing, it's portraying something to those around us. So what is your life showing? What is your life an example of? So age does not disqualify anyone. We can all be an example of the believers. And you look at the world around us, beginning of chapter 4, speaks of those, Paul says, in latter times, some depart from faith, and describes the world we're living in today. People just don't want anything to do with God. Or they twist it into their own selfish agenda. So as you even you think of the world around us, the world today, and us as young folks, and those even youth, the youths that are youth, when the world sees your life, sees the example of the believers, your young people following the Bible, there's a impact. I believe it's also a very powerful witness in the communities we are when they see young people living a life of godly character. And as we continue to grow up, age, are we still living that godly life? I'd like to look at the six phrases here in verse 12, six examples of how we can be, or how when you think of being an example, Paul lays it out in six things. I'd just like to take each one of those as a point this morning. So starting with the first one, in word. In word simply means our speech. So what, often we think of speech, y'all think of the words you're saying, the words that are coming out of your mouth. And that is, but in our day and age, the technology we have, speech, I'm going to say, goes to even the social media. What messages are we sending? What's not only coming out of my mouth, but what's also coming into or leaving my screen? This morning, a person's speech is the index to his life. Or in other words, words reveal the heart. So what you say, what you message, what comes out is an indication of what's inside. Verse out of Luke 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings out that which is good, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings out that which is evil. For out of the abundance the heart, the mouth speaks. So again, what's inside me comes out. Proverbs 18, verse 21 reminds us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So our tongue, our speech, our word has power. And it's not simply what we say, but it's also how we say it. And that creates the impact our words, our speech can have. This morning, words shape atmospheres, they shape friendships, they shape reputations. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So what communication, what speech, what word is coming out of my mouth, coming out of your mouth? Do we get caught up in gossip, slander, idle talk, swearing? Any words that are, as Ephesians 4 says, corrupt? Anything that's filthy or dirty? Is that what's out of my life? And for an example, the believer, well, no, it should not be. Rather, our speech should be truthful, should be loving. Our words need to edify. Again, referencing Ephesians 4 here, use of edifying that men and it may minister grace to those that hear. So is it upbuilding? Do our words teach truth? Do they encourage growth? Do they simply reflect Christ? Because as a believer, if we're going to be an example of the believers, what is going to come out? Second one is in conversation. And this word here is an old English word, as definition has evolved over the years. But in this context here, it simply means how life is lived. Sometimes we use conversation. We could have, in place of word, we could have used that. But in this concept, context, in conversation, or in other words, in conduct, how is my life being lived? Our conversation, our conduct, is one's, simply comes down to one's lifestyle, one's overall behavior. How do you live your life? In other words, you could say it's the fruit of our lives, or the proof of our profession. So what, backing up to the first one in words, so what I say or not say becomes evident in how I live. Either it's all going to line up, or it's not. Our lifestyle reinforces or contradicts spoken truth. This morning, I believe your actions ultimately define you, not your words. There's probably, all think of people, and maybe it's even a struggle you may have personally, but it's easy to talk. And there's people, when they get into a tight spot, they know what to say. They know the right words to say, the right things to say. And talk can be cheap. What really comes out is what are they going to do after that? Or what led them even up to that point? It's their conduct. It's how they lived their lives. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," or conduct. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." This morning, am I living a holy life? Because God, Jesus, is holy. Is that my conduct, my conversation? Another verse out of 1 Peter 2:12, "Having your conversation," or again, your conduct, "honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Is my conduct honest? Does it line up with what I say? that they may be, they may buy your good works. So there again, that's what comes, how my life is lived, essentially. That as people observe your life, observe my life, yeah, they might talk negative about us. As it says, they may speak against you as evildoers or as, negative. Talk bad. But what is coming out of my life? And people can, sometimes we use the thing, we can label someone. And maybe it's not in a good way, maybe it's a negative way. But how is that? How's my conduct? How's my way of life? Are we living a life of integrity? Are we, as mentioned, holy or righteous? There again, that speaks to others, whoever we influence or come in contact with. Our daily habits, our work ethic, our honesty. These visible choices again speak louder than our words. And this morning, all of us have a underlying motive or intention of how we go about life. And some of it's maybe more subconscious or maybe we don't recognize it, but all of us have an underlying motive or underlying intention of simply how we live life. So if your underlying intention is to be selfish, then you're going to live life in that aspect, and it will become evident. If our underlying motive is to pattern our lives after Christ, that will become evident as well in our conversation, in our conduct. What's your underlying motive for why you do what you do this morning? Third one is in charity. Another word we could use here is love. Charity is the highest level of love. We often use the word agape love. And that type of love is one that expects nothing in return. It is that love, the charity or agape love, its origin is from God. And as believers, it's poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This love, agape love from God, Romans 5:5 mentions that, of God's love being poured out into our hearts through the work of the Spirit. Luke 6, verse 35, we're called to love our enemies, do good, we're supposed to lend, expect nothing in return. Why? Because we're called to be children of the highest, or children of God. For God, as God, who He is, mentions this, God is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. So is that, again, as our lives reflecting the love of God to those around us, those that may be ungrateful, to the wicked or evil in the world? We can still show love without affirming or Yeah, confirming their choices they make. John 13, verse 35, it's, everyone will know that you're my disciples. How? It's when we have love for one another. And again, this is something that comes out of our lives. One more verse yet, John, 1 John 13:17. But whoso hath this world's good and see his brother of need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So the love of God in our lives, or the lack of it, either God, the love that we have in our lives through the Spirit, through God pouring it out on us, or if we don't have it, again becomes evident. How do I relate to simply anyone? As a husband, how to relate to my wife? As a wife, how do you relate to your husband? As parents, your children. As children, how do you relate to siblings, cousins, school friends? Do we treat each other with concern and care and thoughtfulness? This morning we're called to exemplify agape love, or the God's love. It's selfless, it's sacrificial. And Christ is our ultimate example because he laid his life down for the church, for you and I this morning. If it wouldn't be for God's love, would I be here? Would you be here? If Christ had not died on the cross, where would you be? Where would I be? Fourth one is in spirit. Matthew Henry's commentary says that in spirit, he defines it as in spiritual mindedness or in spiritual worship. Two verses out of Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the spirit, then let us also walk in the spirit. This morning our spirit is not a part of us that we see. It's the inner part of us, that which is the God conscious part of us. Or simply our conscience, the inner feeling you have when you know you should do something right. Or maybe you did something that you shouldn't have, and you just have that feeling like, I was not supposed to do that. That's our conscience, our God consciousness within us. And every human being has it. But then as we come to a choice sometime in life, are we going to follow God, or are we going to darken our hearts and turn away from that? The Spirit is what our Spirit and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, communicates. It's where the exchange. We believe we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And with that indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our spirit is where that exchange or that communication takes place with God. This morning, do we yield to the Spirit's direction? If we're walking in the Spirit, As Galatians 5 says, if we walk in the Spirit, then we're not going to follow the things of the world. If we're going to live in the Spirit, we're also going to follow the Spirit. We're going to allow God to take us, direct us, guide us where he wishes. Romans 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there again, this is another test for an example, what is most important to me? Do the things of this world, the things of the flesh, have a stronger appeal than the things of the Spirit or the things of God? In spirit can also, another definition I came across also speaks of our attitude or the way, the attitudes we have. This morning, what attitudes do I have in life in general? Is it one of hope? Is it one of joy? Even in the midst of less than ideal things. And again, our inner attitude, our spirit, can influence those around us. Number 5 is in faith. Faith is simply trustful dependence on Christ acted out. We can again say that yes, we believe in Christ, we depend on Christ. But do I? Do you? Faith is that acted out. This morning, faith is, as long as we're here on this world, faith is one of those things I believe we need daily. Maybe some days more than others. But it's one of those, you could say, constants. It's constantly needed in our Christian walk. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In the physical, our natural bodies, physical bodies, we have our eyes, and we use them to sight. We use to navigate where we're going. In the spiritual, we don't all see what God has ahead. There's days maybe we wish we would, but it's good we don't. But are we going to simply proceed when things are not clear? Are we going to act out on our dependence and trust in God? Faith is simply a personal trust in God and faithfulness. It's both a personal trust in God and faithfulness in life, simply acting it out. In some aspects, faith looks rather, it can feel rather mundane. It's just over and over again. But our faithfulness means loyalty to Christ regardless of the cost. It's also, when we think of someone being faithful, it's also loyalty to our spouse. I believe there's also the aspect of being faithful, being loyal to a local body of believers. Our faith is what holds us firm or helps us hold firm in the trials of life, when things, as I said, when things may not go according to my own human thinking. Faith is what helps us lean on God's promises. Faith is what helps us trust in God in hardships. Faith is what helps us believe that God's word is reliable. So faith is that unwavering trust. When everything else may seem upside down, faith is what keeps us stepping forward. And then the last one is in purity. Be an example in purity. And purity involves, I believe this here, both moral and spiritual integrity. Purity relates to both cleanliness and holiness. Familiar verse out of Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. One of the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are we living in purity? Purity starts by guarding the heart and mind. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. So how are we going to be an example of the believers in purity of life? Well, it starts by what are we putting in? Are we taking heed to God's word? Are we reading God's word? Not just Sunday mornings. Are we reading it daily? What are you consuming? If we're struggling with purity, I ask the question again, what are we consuming? And I've seen where people, young men, not just young men, young women, can struggle with purity. And you ask how devotional life is going. And they kind of just hang their head and just shrug. Well, they're not consuming the word. That's the foundation to have victory. Consume God's word. Read it. Cleanse your way by taking heed unto God's word. This morning we're temples of the Holy Spirit, so we honor God with our bodies. We flee situations that invite sexual compromise. I don't know if there's any couples here that are dating or not, but date with clear boundaries. Have those established, especially young men, have those established before you start dating. Dress modestly. As we dress, our dress should reflect an inner holiness rather than drawing attention to the flesh. Purity is what keeps us clean for God's use. We're pure because we want to be used of God. We want to be an example of the believers. A strong faith and a commitment to purity help believers stand firm in a world that often opposes Christian values. So this morning, regardless of your age, we are all called to live out an example. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And when that's lived out, that life puts the gospel on display. Others see it. Others see there's something different with these young people, with these families, with these grandparents. There's something different than society around us. Because with God's help, we're living a life of an example. This morning, I just want to again challenge each of you as we go from here. What am I saying? How are you conducting your life? Are we reflecting the love to others? What's my attitudes? Am I simply taking each day in faith? And are we committed to living a life of purity? Let's kneel for prayer.